Welcome to The Dental Brief, the world's direct, right-to-the-point podcast produced to get you the information you need to learn and grow your practice. To learn more about our guests and find links to information discussed on our show, visit our website, dentalbrief.com. On to today's episode.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Dental Brief, the dental world's fastest podcast. We have on with us a fellow podcaster who has a background as a hygienist too, I believe, from what I've read on the bio. Cindy Rogers, say hello. Glad to have you here.
Hello. I'm glad to be here. Thank you. It's good to be on the other side.
Yeah, right. This is what it feels like to be on that side of the microphone, I guess, right? If there is such a thing. But no, we're very thankful to have you here, and your website is rootyouon.com. That's rootyouon.com, rootyouon. So Cindy, you've been in dentistry. Tell us, how'd you get into it? Tell us about your background.
Oh, it was kind of a fluke. I know it was a quick podcast. That's why I like it that way. It was kind of a fluke. I was working in, actually was going to go to law school. So I was working as a paralegal in employment law, which I loved. And the law firm that I was working for, they kind of disbanded and were going into different directions. And it was too far for me to travel. Went to work for an ENT office through a friend. And then I heard that there was a dentist in my small town that was hiring. And I had two small boys at the time. So I was like, I just want to work close to home and it sounds great. So I went and talked to him and got the job as a front office admin person and started out there. The only person in his practice up front, and started out with him right out of school, helped him build the practice to hire another dentist and more staff, and became the office manager and just grew. And I loved it and just stuck with dentistry from then on. So it's kind of a fluke, and here I am.
So what made you decide to become a hygienist?
Well, at the time, there was a shortage, believe it or not, back then. And so I was office manager. We're having a hard time finding a hygienist, kind of like what's going on now. And the doctors were like, hey, you know, if anybody wants to go to hygiene school, we'll send you to hygiene school. And of course, when it came time to paying for it, they kind of backed down a little bit, but they were both supportive. And it was kind of the next step. I knew I wanted to do something else since I wasn't going to law school. So it was kind of just the next steps. I wanted to do something different.
Yeah. And so here you are today. So being a podcaster, we talk to dentists all the time, right? In my day job, not as a podcaster, I'm talking to dentists all over the country all the time. And I'm so involved in forums and online groups and speaking and what have you, and all over the country. And you are too, which is so valuable for you to be here. So tell me in your travels and the calls that you're having and the guests that you have on your show, what is a kind of a reoccurring problem and issue that you're seeing practices and dentists just facing constantly?
So a lot of the problem, there's a lot of different things, but what I'll focus on one today, it seems that a lot of dentists talk about not learning business when they come out of school and how there's that gap between school and dentistry. Sure. And so for where I come from with hygienists, I was learning the same thing where hygienists were always coming up to me, students, new grads, nervous. What do we do? What do we do? You know, what's the next step? And they've never worked in a dental office, some of them, or I'm never as a hygienist. And then same with assistants too. April was getting that same, the same questions. And so I think that would be the biggest thing, is just filling in the missing link between bridging the gap between the classroom and the operatory. So, furthering some information, things that you don't learn in school.
And so what does that look like? And by the way, I see this often, right? We hear it talked about, hey, they should teach business in dental school. I personally don't think they should. I think they should teach business in business school.
Right.
Definitely don't think they should teach dentistry in business school.
Right.
Right. Because true. And I think we're going to see this more and more and more. And DSOs literally thrive because there's dentists that don't want to run businesses. Right. They certainly want to participate in the profits when they can. That's why they're at a DSO. But there's also just dentists that want to be associates forever. Right. And we see dentists who own successful, build successful practices and then sell, and then also go to work for other friends or, practices because they want to be in it for a couple of days. So I think there's far too many positions in dentistry where, people don't want to do business, but let's focus on the ones that do.
Yeah.
What advice do you give them? What advice do you give that young dentist that says, hey, I have no business degree and here I am, I own a business. What do I do next?
Yeah, and I love how you said that because you're right. Some people go to dental school because they want to be dentists. Yeah. Why do we keep saying everybody has to have business? Why does everybody have to do business? Like,
right.
That's the mold. We're talking about the box. That's the main thing too. Everybody puts dentistry in a box and it doesn't have to be the box. And that's frustrates me more. But the missing thing for, I'll talk more on the hygiene level, just I'm a hygienist, so I can't really speak for dentists. I would say more time, like, because you go to school and you're in there for, you have 2 days to work on one patient or two teeth if you're doing perio. And so then you're expected to go into, you know, a practice where if you're lucky, you get an hour. Some of us gripe about only having an hour, but some of us are really lucky to get an hour at the same time. And so they're just really nervous because they don't understand the, you know, the speed and what they really need to do and what matters and how to take care of their patients and do everything in that time frame. And then also how to do exams with different doctors and personalities and team members and, you know, communicate with the rest of the team, things they haven't really had to do in school. And so most of the time they're just kind of nervous of the unknown.
So for those that are wanting to make that change, right, where they're really wanting to understand the, you know, the theories, the principles, the planning and what have you, where do they turn? Where can they go? Where can they get that education?
Well, luckily there are a lot of people mentoring. So April, my co-host and I, we're realizing this gap. And so we started a mentorship program on our site, Root You On, and it's called Bridging the Gap Mentorship. And it's for new grads of, it could be any dental professional really. And it kind of answers some of those questions. And it's a online course that you can self-paced. We're also in the process of writing a book for that that they can have and take home for a resource. And also we have other dental professionals that have reached out that there's so many people out there that want to mentor. And so ever since we started doing this, we've had other professionals reach out to us too, saying, how do you mentor? I want to be a mentor. I want to be a mentor. And there's just so many other mentors out there besides us, and it's great. And so I think just finding somebody that you connect with, that you can act like a big sister or a big brother, and just answer these people's questions, whether it be online or a book or a phone call. You know, just kind of let them know that it's normal, and walking them through processes and holding their hand, per se.
Sure. And I think you have this in this, I'm not trying to be crack wise here at all, but you definitely have people that are very capable mentors. Right. But then you also have people who think they can mentor and they really are a mentee, right. Or need to be a mentee for a while. So, and with that being said, for those people out there who may need a mentee, what's kind of a surefire sign that, hey, you really could benefit from having a mentor in your life on your career path? What are some things that you see out there where you go, yeah, this person would benefit greatly?
Well, honestly, I think we all could. You know, we're all at different points in our career. But I could use a mentor, and actually I need one. So it's like, but then it's kind of finding the time. And everybody needs a mentor for that next step or to help, you know, like a life coach, if nothing else, just to kind of help you through your processes. And so what I see for me, what gets me, I guess I'd have to say more for assistants. You see them in the office and they're so capable and so great and they work so hard, but yet they sometimes don't feel worthy, but it's like they should feel worthy. And so they're kind of missing that, they need someone to kind of mentor them and help show them that how they can stand out and how they are worthy and how they can stand up for themselves or anybody in the practice really. And so those kind of people stand out to me, knowing that they could really, really use a big sister or use somebody to help guide them and help them step up to themselves.
For those dentists that are listening, tell me what do you say to them as far as, you know, what is the benefit for them having their hygienist or actually anyone in their office hook up with a mentor or someone who's been around a little bit longer? What are some of the benefits that would come to the practice owner or the dentist by doing so, by encouraging that?
Oh my gosh, there's so many benefits. For me, starting out as a front office person before I went to hygiene school, the dentist I worked for, we went to so many CEs. So whether your mentor is a person one-on-one or it's going to continuing education classes and just learning things that you don't know. And so having, even if you're mentoring your own team, you're training them, and that benefit of them learning more and being more confident and stepping outside the box, that's going to help your practice exponentially grow and help your patients. And so there's just only thing you can do is win from that. It's the best investment I think you could probably make for your practice, really.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think that people are always a little bit afraid of change, right? We never see that in dental offices ever, right? Yeah, of course we do. Yeah, I'm being sarcastic, Anna, but they are, and I can see that. But But you're right. Having your team think outside the box, yeah. Right? Having them help create vision and innovate, I think that's where you go to the next level, right? And the level after that. And I think that's just so important. So let's talk a little bit about, and this is, we're going to kind of go off the subject here, but with your experience and travels, if you will, I think this is a great question. For those that are working in hygiene or working as an expanded duty assistant or anywhere in the office right now, and I think there's more pressure. I saw a sign today, and it was a meme, actually, of a sign in a fast food restaurant that said, "Hey, we're working. Please give us a break," right? Like, we're doing our best. Please lay off us. And I actually was at I had an experience this within the last week. I'm not going to say the date because I don't want the date. But where I saw someone be really rude to a worker at a restaurant that was busting their butt, right? And it's not their fault that they are understaffed and, you know, that they have way too many tables. So what advice do you give to that person who's in that situation right now? They're one of the ones left behind and over, you know, in an under staffed practice. What do you got for them?
So they're in an understaffed practice, and so they're they're left behind.
Overworked,
they're
tired,
working their butts off.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. Talk to your team. Have a heart to heart with your team and your doctor. It might be that the doctor really doesn't understand. Sometimes we think, oh, they're just jerks and they just want to overwork you, but they might not know. And there's a lot of office managers that protect the doctors because they don't want them being in a bad mood to them, because usually that's who they go to. Because I used to be an office manager. I used to be that person. So the doctor might not even know this. So you really need to have a heart to heart and talk and come up with solutions and really have open communication. One of our things is just have an open, honest communication and being able to speak up and saying, hey, that, you know, I need help, but this isn't working. We need to work together. We need to come up with better systems. And how can we get through the day being short staffed, but not having to kill ourselves in the meantime, because that's not going to help anybody.
Yeah, that's terrific advice. Cindy, I want to thank you for being here. I want to encourage our audience. Check you out, rootyouon.com. What's the best way for anyone listening who wants to reach out to you to do so?
Yeah, so they could find our information on the website or the podcast, Dental Elements. They could reach us there, or you can email me at cindyrogers@rootyouon.com as well. And I'd love to meet people and to connect, for sure.
Yeah. World of wisdom out there. Take advantage of it. Thank you so much, Cindy. We appreciate you so much.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode. Did you know you can weigh in on today's topic on Facebook? Search The Dental Brief on Facebook or visit our website, dentalbrief.com, and just follow the link. We look forward to having you join us again on another episode of The Dental Brief.